a lot of you don't know me, and then some of you don't know what I come from in the past. I actually am a recovered addict. I recovered in 2005, and I want to tell you a little bit of a story to kind of kick this off. It was roughly about 2000 and almost 2007. I had been sober for about a year and a half, and about a year in, I had my little $1,500 car that I was going in, and I was so happy to have achieved that, and I was going to school for what my heart's desire was, which was at the Art Institute of Dallas. I have a bachelor's in interior design, a bachelor's of fine arts, and this was my freshman year, and I got notification when I went to go renew my license that I still had $4,000 worth of warrants out for my arrest. Well, and they were not going to give me my license back. They said, we'll set you up on a payment plan, but you don't get to drive. Well, okay, so I did the right thing because that's what I'm doing now. I'm doing the right thing, and I parked my car, and I started to ride the bus and get on the train, and I made it to school and to my job, and I used to be an Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'd make it to all my meetings. And one day I'm on the train, and I'm on my way to school, and I hear the Lord, and there's a homeless man that's sitting across the aisle from me, and I hear the Lord tell me that he wants me to tell him about him. He wanted me to tell this man that the Lord loved him. And I said, nope. I don't know. Like, I am A, B, C, D. I just told you all the things that I came from. You know this, Lord. I can't do this. I don't have the right to do this. And he said, I want you to tell him that I love him. And I said, no. I am A, B, C, D. And I'm going through this with the Lord, and this is all internal. It's all on the inside. And all I'm doing is kind of looking at the guy and arguing with God on the inside. And I have the man beside me look at me, and he says, well, so what are you waiting for? And it's taken years for this Baptist woman to say it out loud. But I knew I was in the presence of an angel. And I knew that he knew all the internal things that were happening in this conversation that I was having with the Most High God. And so I turned around and put my back to him and rode the rest of the way to school and got off. Right? Aw. Because my perception predicted my potential. Now, it doesn't predict the fact that every other time the Lord puts something in front of me that I don't get to do it. But it did that time, and it does every time. And so while I operate with all power under the Most High Being, I have to believe it. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So to believe it, first I have to know who He is, right? And then I have to believe who He is to me. And then I have to believe and know who He said I am. Who the great I am says I am. Yeah. So, let's talk about who He is. Let's start there. Now, I'm going to go over the, I'm telling you that I could probably go through most of these points for an entire sermon. I wouldn't want to because I'm not going to throw up, okay? I'm not going to throw up, but I am nervous. So we're going to go over high-level thoughts, and we'll go through these, okay? But I've given you in your notes today, I'm going to go through several points. And I'm going to write more than the three, but I want you just to write the ones that stand down. And I have actually given you homework for the week. That's the amen point right there. Yeah, okay. And so I have questions that I want you to ask yourself, and I wrote some of these scriptures down, okay? So I just wanted to tell you that in the beginning. So our God, who is our God? Well, first off, He's an omnipotent God. He's a God with unlimited power. He spoke into existence everything that is out of nothing. So actually, I'm going to read this scripture. But by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. And that's Psalm 33:6. Situationally, for me and for you, that means that there is nothing that this all-powerful God doesn't just have to speak into existence. Not a situation that is not fully covered by an all-powerful God. Okay, so this word is hard for me, but he's omniscient. He's omniscient. Woo-wee, we'll get through it. Meaning that he is knowing, he knows all things. I am a planner. I have spreadsheets for my spreadsheets. I write my honey-to-do list in Excel format. I have a budget, literally a folder with budgets for every month of the year all the way through December of 2019. Amen. Line item by line item. This is for you. This heart has to lay it down all the time that he's all-knowing, not me. I have to, that's my struggle constantly. He's all-knowing. He knows the words that come out of my mouth before I speak them. He knew the situation that I walked into. He knows the troubles that keep me up at night. He knows the troubles that keep you up at night. He knows the things that make you happy. He knows the things that make you sad. He knows what 100 days from now is. He knows what 100 years from now is. He knows the sickness. He knows the doctors to send to you. He knows the people to comfort you. He knows the things that you need. And he knows the things that you don't need. He is all-knowing. And he's omnipresent. He's present at all times. He's present with me in the darkest of the night when I don't know what tomorrow brings. He's present with you and your highest victories and your lowest valleys. He is present with your kids when they're far away. He's everywhere at all times, with all power, knowing all things. But you want to know what the best part about this is? Is that he is unchangingly kind and of good will. This all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing God could be pretty bad if it wasn't like this. But he thinks that we are so precious and he wants such good things for us. And he is, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So, who is this all-loving, all-knowing, always present, and all-powerful God? What does Scripture say that he is to you? Scripture says that he is our fortress. It says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and my horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. It means that in times of trouble, this is who I run to. This is my daddy that's going to fix it. He is our rock. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. It says that I will not be shaken. There is no storm, not a single storm in your life that can blow this house down. This is one of my favorite ones. He's our friend. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything, the word says, everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So let's think about your best friend. What is that relationship like, your friend? You tell them things. They tell you things that other people don't know. You allow them to speak into your life. When I have a problem, I call my friend. and I allow her to speak truth into my life. Whenever she has a problem, she allows me to speak into her life. Now, I'm not saying our God has problems, but I'm saying that our God says that we're his friend. And so we get to speak to him and ask and request things. He allows us to speak into things. It's not just me subservient underneath him or I'm a slave. I am his friend. I'm going to say that again because someone needs to hear that today. You are his friend. You have the right to speak into things. Over your children, say those prophetic words over them. Over your marriage, say those prophetic words over your marriage. Over those friendships, over that job, over that situation, speak over it and speak life into it and speak into it. I said into it, so speak into it. I said that three times just for good measure. Okay. He's our Redeemer. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He hears them. He's hearing all those prayers. When someone says, I'll pray for you, it's not just I'll pray for you. When you say you're praying, it's not that you're just praying. Your God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-kind and loving God, is hearing you. Amen. He delivers them from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. Christian life is not about everything being all roses. His Christian life is that it's gonna be all roses. It's that I am already victorious. My heart gets broken at times, but I'm victorious. My heart is broken at times, but he's with me. My heart is broken at times, so he's close to me. He has already made a way, and you already stand in that victory. Amen. He's our hope. So do not fear. The Bible says, do not fear 365 times, I think. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Remember that all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present? Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I'm your man. I got you. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Not your righteous hand. I don't have to figure out a way. He's already got me. For this woman that has a budget a year out, I need to know that. He's our righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become righteousness of God in him. Amen. Okay. Let's just break this down for a second because, again, if you haven't, I am all type A. I'm all direct. I'm all demanding. I am the lion personality. I am all those things. If it's a color, I'm the red. Like, I love you, honey. I'm sorry sometimes. But you said I do, so. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be my own righteousness. I every day, day in and day out, wear the imputed righteousness that was already paid for by a very, very high cost. Amen. I'm covered in that day in and day out. I don't have to be the one that is my own righteousness. So when I mess up, I'm covered by the blood of the most precious gift that was ever given. My heart needs to know that a lot. I assume that so does yours. And he is our strength. One of my favorite scriptures is that the one where it says that in our weaknesses, he is made strong. I am just the vessel. And I am a very broken vessel. I have gone to the depths of some things that some of y'all will never know. But my God shines so, so bright in those cracks. He uses this broken human being day in and day out. I don't have to be my own righteousness. I don't have to be my own strength. I don't have to be my own hope. I don't have to be my own savior. because these are the things that he is to me. But you need to know that. You need to get with him. You need to find, you need to take your heart and you need to teach it that. And I'm telling you that we have an enemy that is here to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will lie to you day in and day out. Okay, so who is, we know who he is. We know who he is to us. So who is he said we are? Who am I? Now, I'm going to tell you today what Scripture says, but I also want to tell you that he's whispering other things to you in your ear day in and day out. He has hopes and dreams and visions and great, great, great things that he's going to do through you, and he wants you to listen up and walk in it. We're a new creation. Y'all, I'm brand new. I'm like that new shiny car, but times like 2 million. I am brand new. I am not my past. Brand new. I have a new name. I cannot wait to figure out what it is. I'm valuable. Valuable. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. We are so, that every bit of who you are, of your personality, of the things that you're good at, the things that you're bad at, the things that your hair, your eye color, your face, your being, your weight. Come on, women, that's an amen, because sometimes. He knit that together. He made that. I walked around in shame for years because I thought I was too much, because I'm a powerhouse. And now, instead of saying I'm a powerhouse, and sometimes it's hard for people, I'm a powerhouse. He made me in all my goofiness and in all my type A-ness. He made you in every bit of the spectrum of all of your personality, of where he placed you, in the family that he placed you, and the time that he placed you, and the hair that he gave you, and the eyes that he gave you, and the face that he gave you. He knit you together perfectly. And you're valuable. You are so special that he intricately wove you. It says, and even the very heads on your head are all numbered. You mean so much to your father that he sits there and counts the hairs on your head. And I don't know about you, but I'm 3 kids deep and I've lost a lot of this hair over and over and over again. And now it just comes back gray. And Brendan doesn't even have any hair. Easy peasy over here. You're so valuable to him. You're so valuable to me. But he's better. You're wonderful. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. That's why we have to know here, where it's telling you that you're wonderful. And we're saying, the way that I know that I can say that I'm wonderful, because I know your works and I know them full well. And so you said that I'm wonderful, so I'm wonderful because you made me. But that's why we have to know him, and we have to know who he is to us. All the parts of you are wonderful. They're like awesome. He sings and he delights over you. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior, oh, I love that. Like, that's all my red coming out right there. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. My God's like up there having praise and worship over how awesome I am to him. Like literally, that's happening, because that's what the word says. and I have a word for someone today, and I don't know who it is, but the Lord told me that he just wants you to know he is so proud of you. I think it's all of us really, but he is just like so proud of us. You're powerful. You made them rulers over the works of your hands, but put everything under their feet. That's Psalm 8:6. He has given you great dominion and great power. He's made you to be able to do, it says, the word says that even greater than these will come, where it talks about the works of the apostles. The gifts of the Spirit are not dead. And for all my Baptist friends that are watching, I'm sorry, but they're not. You were made to do works of great awe and great wonder. You are crowned with glory. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Straighten your crown, boo. Because you are crowned, you are royalty. You are filled with his Spirit. On the other hand, I am filled with power. That's why I stand in great victory and humility when I say I'm a powerhouse. It is not with proud, but I am filled, because the word says that on the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and in courage to make known to Jacob and his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin. You were made for this battle. The grounds that he gave you, I don't know if they're at work. I don't know if they're at home, and I'm not saying at home's a battle. But I'm a mother of three kids, so yes, actually, it is sometimes. He gave you your field. You were made for that battle. You were made for it. Like, by the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, all-loving God, you were made for this battle. And you have all the power and the justice and the courage that you need to get it done. You are led with his knowledge. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives. I mean, y'all, I just love scripture sometimes, you know what I mean? He says that we are captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and it uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. I'm like, he's like not going to let me go, you know what I mean? I'm his captive. And a triumphal procession. I'm led with his knowledge. I was in AA for 7.5 years. And in Alcoholics Anonymous over the years, the group that I was in, one of the big things that we were really about more than anything, we didn't just show up and say, hi, my name's Brittany and I'm an alcoholic. Which, by the way, I've gone far from that. That's not my identity. Okay? But I didn't just do that. I would show up a couple of nights of the week, and all the rest of the nights of the week I was at a rehab facility or the Salvation Army or traveling to go speak at other groups. And our big thing was helping other women. And I can't tell you the amount of times that I've had someone sit in front of me as I had helped them and given them the path of what it was that I knew that was going to help them come out of that drudgery of alcoholism and addiction, and then they would say, I don't know enough, I can't do this, I don't know. And one of the reasons why I left AA is because actually scripture says that you do. You don't have to know enough to help someone else. You don't have to have this all figured out. You don't have to be the beacon of all knowledge, because you are led with his knowledge. Amen. Amen. And any time that he tells that you don't know enough, you're not good enough, that's a lie. You're an heir with Christ. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heir to God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So many times we can be led by our emotions. And emotions are not bad things. They're wonderful things. They truly are. Even over the years, I thought, oh, it's so bad to be led by my emotions, so I should stuff my emotions. Or when I have emotions, that's shameful. It's not. It's good to have these emotions. But in times, we can forget in our emotions that even in Scripture, when it says that we are an heir with Christ, it says that if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This Christian life is not one that it is not going to be battles. But you were made for that battle, remember? It's not one where you don't have to say do powerful things because you were made to do powerful things. But there are times where people are going to think you're stupid. And it's ridiculous, the hope that you stand on. And they're going to come against you. And that's okay. Because the Lord says that we could even celebrate in our suffering, because in our suffering, that it's producing character, it's producing endurance, it's producing hope, and that hope will not be put to shame because it is the love of Christ poured into us. So, these are the things that Scripture has said, but I want you to know, if you don't already know, what has he told you? That he specifically, to the direction when you drive down the street, to if you go left or right, he wants to tell you all the things. And you're his friend, that's why. So I want you to even take this further on your own. Who are you? You are who he called you to be. Now we walk this out. Scripture says that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 10:5. And we're talking about every argument that you make, every pretension that you have. Do you know that most of the time those are yours, not other people's? He's talking, this is the point where he said all these things about you, and that's absolute truth. Now, are you going to believe it? Are you not? So, we'll go back to the original. So, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your perception of yourself is going to predict your potential. And who you are is pretty dang awesome. Now, are you going to believe it? And that's not, I don't say this from a place, because I have walked through toxic shame for years. And I had to take captive and still have to take captive every thought and make it become obedient to Christ. I mean, like with force. Nope. You say that, but this is what my father said. The enemy is going to remind you of your past, of the things you have, of you don't have. He's going to remind you of what they've said, what they haven't said. He's going to take just a little bit of truth, and he's going to manipulate it, and he is going to try to kill. This is the only thing that he could kill, steal, and destroy, just so you know. Is what you believe. He has no power beyond that. You get to give him or not give him that power. That's huge. So I told you all the things you are, so now I want to tell you the things that you're not. You're not a sum total of your mistakes. You're not your victories. You're not the shame that whispers in your ear. You're not what others say about you, good or bad. You're not your fears. You're not all the good things. You're not all the bad things. Today on Mother's Day, you're not the struggles that your kids have. You're not the fact that you haven't become a mother yet. If you're a father operating as a mother, you're not that identity either. You're all these things and so much more of what Scripture says.
Amen.
So I challenge you this week to go back and find the places where do you need to take captive your thoughts? Those things that whisper to you that you'll never add up. They always loved your sister more. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, we could go on and on. I'll tell you, I'm going to be real transparent with you. I'll tell you the things that I struggle with that I have to take captive pretty often. And they've changed over the years. And some have gone away and some have come back. And I thought I won that victory. But, okay, cool. God, you got some more things for me. Like, let's do this. But I kind of alluded to it. I have over the years really just thought that I was not good enough. Like I would put on a bravado that I was, so I would overcompensate continuously to showcase that I am, right?
Amen.
But I'm not even that. I'm not even the fact that I overcompensated, but I don't need to do that. And I'll feel myself go that way sometimes where I think, okay, if I don't show up and do these things, everybody's going to forget about me and I'm not going to have value and I'm not going to. But that's not what my father said. He said, I could sit on the sidelines over there and be the biggest shining beacon ever because I'm awesome. So I just challenge you this week to go find those thoughts and take them captive. Thank you so much for letting me share my heart with you today. And that's it. Probably should have a smoother ending, but I'm out.